don't want to see you coming back in here with dirty jerseys. I want to see you coming back in here with bloodstained jerseys.
How could anybody go and sit and have a pint with those boys after that?
And the referee is looking around and acting as Mickey.
Tell the children to play tennis or something.
If they want to play tennis, go and play tennis.
You're very welcome to the so-called Weaker Podcast. Balls of Ease weekly GEA show with me, Mick McCarthy, with Gavin Cooney.
How are you?
No Mark Farrelly this week.
We've been freed from the yoke of Cavan oppression on this podcast.
We will not be mentioning Cavan unless they come up in conversation, but in a more natural way than normal. Mark is the first, I think I missed a couple actually around my wedding, which was a decent excuse. Yeah. Other than that, we haven't had anyone miss a so-called Weaker Podcast yet. Mark has as good an excuse as my wedding.
He's off hanging with a couple of Division One footballers that we've never mentioned on this podcast before.
Gallivanting off with Damien Comer, Conor McManus and Paul Gainey.
Yeah.
None of whom would know a Weaker County if it came up and hit them in the arse.
And we don't think the Weaker County's ever got that close to them. But we're here at the coldface.
Persevering.
Persevering and giving the so-called Weaker Counties the limelight they deserve.
Yeah,
and the we say, they're the lifeblood of the GAA.
The lifeblood of the GAA.
I raised this phrase, listeners, because myself and Mick were having the conversation earlier on today that in no other sport or in no other walk of life do we hear about lifeblood.
No.
It's usually just blood.
Yeah. And funnily enough, that conversation developed and evolved because Stephen Poacher, someone who's regularly mentioned this on this podcast, the coach of Carlo, tweeted at the weekend giving out about Kieran Whelan's assessment about the Weaker Counties. Personally, I think kind of misunderstanding what Kieran Whelan was saying, but mentioned the so-called Weaker Counties in a tweet. And it was brilliant because, of course, that's something that is a phrase that we've picked on that I think would only, so-called in GEA, generally only comes before the words Weaker Counties.
I think so.
Or Weaker Podcast in this case. And then that led to a discussion where me and you were talking about the structure of the championship somehow, word lifeblood came up.
Yeah,
because
I mean, every
game is the lifeblood of the
every
GAA.
Conversation in the GAA these days ends with a discussion on championship structures, unfortunately. And before we get into it, I do want to make the point that we ended up talking about lifeblood, and there's a very idyllic view of the GAA club put out there in the media at the moment to give out about the behemoth, the corporate behemoth that has become of the intercounty game. And while GAA clubs are a fantastic thing generally, I don't get the idyllic view. Like, there are a lot of people acting terribly all of the time at GAA clubs.
As there are everywhere.
Yeah, I suppose. But like, it's less the heart of a community than it is its kind of it, where loads of old men get around and shout and get excited about things. And they wouldn't get... they would be generally very phlegmatic away from the pitch.
Yeah, perhaps there's definitely that element to it. I wouldn't say it defines a full GA club though, but...
No, maybe not.
You're forgetting about the GA club is the heart of the community, much less as is the club game is the lifeblood of the association.
Yeah, blood. Someday.
just the usual.
The blood of the association.
Lifeblood. Right, so we've got the so-called Weaker Counties that we will be focusing on mainly this week will be... your own Longford.
Farrelly's not here to talk about his own county incessantly, so I'm taking over that role.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, in a weird one. And Westmeath. So we'll come back to who you're speaking to from Longford in a minute. But Westmeath, very, very interesting interview that PJ Brown did during the week that we're going to play you just a few minutes of with Boydu Seya, who is a Westmeath footballer who moved over to Moat in Westmeath from Liberia when he was 8 years old during the Liberian Civil War. And just a really interesting guy and really interesting story. And he is somebody who has played all the way through the ranks in Westmeath and has been on the panel for a couple of years, came off the bench against Offaly in the championship last year and is now hoping to kind of get a starting place and could even be in the team this weekend for their game against Laois. A name to watch out for,
yeah,
so
definitely.
Looking forward to hearing that.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
Are bringing us to Longford, who are also in a much awaited, long awaited. You say Leinster quarterfinal against Meath this week. You say that we talk about Cavan a lot. We have mentioned Longford's La Decima and this Meath game that you're obsessed with and the Ledesma that me and Mark are obsessed with of them getting knocked out in the first round and winning a first round qualifier for the 10th year in a row, in case you're a first time listener. We've been talking about this for months.
Yeah.
So Longford get their fair due.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, sorry to get plenty. We've already interviewed the Longford manager in this podcast. Today, you're going to hear my, it wasn't that long, chat with Longford captain Donald McElligott.
Yeah. So they're playing Meath this weekend. Can I just go through the fixtures? Because there's a discussion to be had here. Because
it's a busy weekend.
Yeah. Like, it is still May. It's going to be the 26th and 27th of May this week. And here are the fixtures in the GEA Championships. And this is a weekend that doesn't have John McDonough or Christy Ring or Nicky Rackard cup matches in hurling, which are generally ignored anyway. But even so, this is the games. On Saturday, you've got Leitrim versus Roscommon, Connacht semi-final football. You've got the Leinster quarter-final between Westmead and Laois. You've got the Munster Senior Championship semi-finals, semi-final between Tipperary and Cork. You've got, which is by the way, the same fixture that will be happening in the same ground in hurling on Sunday, but isn't the double header. But there you go. You've got Down in Antrim in the Ulster quarter-final in football. You've got Offaly against Wexford in the hurling championship, 7 o'clock on Saturday night. You've got two Laurie Mar cup matches, Sligo versus Fermanagh and Cavan versus Lancashire. Then on Sunday, if you're not worn out. You've got Kildare versus Carlow in a massive Leinster quarterfinal. You've got Longford versus Meath in a Leinster quarterfinal. And you've got Dublin versus Wicklow in a Leinster quarterfinal. That should actually be Wicklow versus Dublin. It's taking place in the neutral venue of
Port Laois.
You've got Derry versus Donegal. Pretty big game. Ulster quarterfinal. You've got Galway versus Kilkenny. The All-Ireland champions versus the league champions in hurling. You've got Tipperary versus Cork, one of the most famous fixtures in all of hurling and a must-win game for Tipperary after what happened last week. And you've got Clare versus Waterford. Waterford, All-Ireland finalists last year, their first game out of the year in Ennis. Like, weaker counties, not weaker counties, right? We've been talking about Carlow all year. They won their first round game. We look forward to them. You mentioned them beating Kildare. We genuinely don't have time to talk or even think about that game this week.
Yeah.
You know, given the interviews that we have and everything else. It's just, you know,
it's
Wicklow
extraordinary
big day against the Dubs. Just going to be complete. Like, that's on Sunday at 4 o'clock at the same time as Galway and Kilkenny. Like,
both All-Ireland final champions.
Yeah.
Both codes playing at the same time.
Yeah.
In the middle of May.
Yeah.
Sorry, near the end of May. It is unprecedented. You're dead against it now.
Look, last weekend, I thought the Munster hurling two games on back to back was fantastic. This week I'm going to go to Ennis for Clare and Waterford, and I'm going to miss two massive games on TV, never mind all the other things that I've just said I missed. There is a little bit of it just feels like too much is happening all at the same time and we're not getting enough of a sense of it. Is that an okay thing? Is that what happens when in soccer or in NFL or something, when everything's happening at the same time? And we do have more games now, so maybe it's not that important to see every single game as it's happening live. There's a part of me that feels like we're bunching up the summer too much, and too much is happening too early, and then we're just going to be, we'll have a long old wait from when things start slowing down in August and then finish on the 2nd of September.
Yeah, and that's delayed because of the papal visit.
Exactly, that should even be the week before in the new calendar. So I wonder if we are feasting too early. And
yeah,
then there's a long famine ahead.
I think so. I have to say I agree. Definitely the hurling championship is, you know, it really is front loading the summer. And last Sunday, the doubleheader for Munster was amazing. But you do worry that, I mean, it more or less disappears from the public consciousness for most of August.
I don't know. I think it's going to be something that we're going to talk about a lot as the summer goes on. But Gavin,
how are you?
Your promotion this week.
Oh, ho,
I'm not sure if it's a promotion, but it's a different role, I suppose, in Mark's absence. Take us around the weaker counties.
Okay, so
have you picked the song?
Under
you here for the first few seconds.
Hey, can I go with Johnny Cash's Hurt?
Yeah, okay, go on.
Okay, so first up, we're off to Limerick. Maybe I should lose the kind of bubbly affectation. We're off to Limerick, who are this week's football team in a crisis in a county that seems to prefer hurling, following Denver. Offaly last week. Offaly, by the way, have appointed Paul Rouse as their new manager, which is pretty cool.
Amazing.
Anyway, with Limerick, after their heavy defeat to Clare, their manager Billy Lee went rogue on his county board, explained that there was a mix-up in the team submitted by the county board to Croke Park, which ultimately left one of his players unable to play. before throwing. He wasn't exactly sure whether they get him registered in time or what were the exact legalities of it, to the extent where he was considering forfeiting the game and keeping his players in the dressing room until he was allowed to play. Obviously, that wouldn't have happened, so ultimately the game would have been forfeited. He ultimately called the county board shocking in a virtuoso performance before Marty Morrissey. It was a great interview.
Unbelievable.
It was. He came across
GA interview of the week.
He came across superbly well, and he really seems player focused. Like, he was talking about, my aim is to make it enjoyable for the players, keep these guys coming back. It was really good. The Limerick County Board released a statement in response. They said they didn't have access to email to sort out that team selection issue. So that was on whatever Wednesday night, and they didn't have access to email on Thursday morning.
I'm sorry.
I'm not.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. It's 2018.
Most people who aren't working in that kind of professional capacity do have access to emails. And it's probably incumbent on them, considering that the senior team would have been training the night before. Like, things can come up.
Not an excuse, I would say. Possibly true, but not an excuse. Because that's almost as bad a dereliction of duty as
I think so.
The problem in the first place.
Billy Lee also mentioned that the county team had no food after training. The Wednesday night building up to the game. County board said that this is the responsibility of the manager. And then they ended the statement by saying, we're not going to say anything more. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see how things play out down there. Like, there's some pretty obvious tension.
We talked about this during the league. Like, Limerick were on the verge. They were the third team in Munster for 10 years when John Galvin and Ian Ryan and all these players were brilliant and kept running Kerry close. Remember, they got to the All-Ireland, they ran Kerry close twice in 1 year, lost them in the All-Ireland quarter-final when Darren O'Sullivan got that back heel goal. Like, that's this decade. I'm pretty sure that was 2011, possibly 2010. No, it was 2011. And it's like, they could be the worst team in the country at the moment. It's just sad that would be let happen in any way.
And I don't want to detract from Clare here, that game was never in doubt.
No.
As to whether Clare, which is
Clare
a sign
seemed to be kind of in second gear, and Clare aren't a team that should be beating anybody in second gear traditionally.
So, like, while that says a lot about Clare, it also says a lot about Limerick. Check in on Louth, by the way. We cover these are the Louth hurlers.
Yeah, the
Arthur. We covered the Arthur crisis last week. Boy, did they miss them in defeat to Longford, 19-12.
Another way of you bringing up a Longford victory. Congratulations.
Okay, we'll move on. So,
well, look, it's
I was going to do a minute by minute breakdown of that game, but hey, yes,
Longford looking good, looking strong in the Nicky Rackard then.
Yeah, to Tipperary. But they're still training behind Warwickshire, Group 1. So it's going to be pretty hard for them to eclipse
Warwickshire
them.
Are a bit of an unstoppable juggernaut this year, though, it seems to me.
To Tipperary, football manager Liam Kearns is angry at Munster Football Championship scheduling. He says, quote, "It's wrong, really, really wrong. All we want is a level playing field. Anytime we go out and that's all we want, we did not get that." This is talk of, they have a six-day turnaround from beating Waterford on Sunday to playing Cork on Saturday. And as you mentioned at the top of the show, Tip and Cork are playing
in Thurles.
In Thurles.
On Sunday.
On Sunday?
Yeah.
What?
A lot of people are worried, and apparently this comes from the football side of the county board, that the crowd would feck off after the hurling. Now, I still think if a half of them did, I still think you'd have a bigger crowd than you'll have there on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And here's the real thing. It's like, that's a very competitive game.
It's gonna be
in the Munster
fantastic.
Championship. It's been really good for the last couple of years when they've played. And I don't know. There's obviously the drinkers who are out for the day who'll leave. But I actually don't think it would even be half the crowd.
Yeah.
I think people would stay and watch that game.
I think so. They also, like, Conor Sweeney is injured. He's probably going to miss out. And Liam Kearn said, had we had the 2 weeks, he would have been fit. And it's being, you're not sure about that. That might be a bit of a, it's kind of bizarre. And it's up against the Champions League final. So who will go to that game? I'm not sure.
I don't know. Not everybody's a Liverpool supporter, Gavin.
There's a few Real Madrid fans dotted around the country.
Up against the Championship playoff final? That's what I want to know.
One of the earlier games, Leitrim-Roscommon.
Leitrim-Roscommon.
Yeah.
Well, what are the crowd going to be like there? The amount of Villa fans in Carrick and Shannon?
Let's go to the small Irish province of London. And here's a pretty good yarn on shared West on Mead Twitter
Leash
this
as
week.
Well, up against the championship playoff finals.
Pretty good yarn shared on Twitter this week by Dean Hyland. Great story from London GA training session last week with Paul Galvin. He went around the dressing room and named the price of every player's boots. He's quoting £200. Lovely, yeah. Now, how many of you own an O'Neill's? Nobody put their hands up. £50 for a ball and £200 for boots. Which improves skill? Ball on a wall, man. That's great.
Yeah. And I would have thought that Paul Galvin, of all people, would be encouraging people to buy nice boots.
Yeah, but he's a football fundamentalist.
He is,
hard,
yeah.
You know?
Football's more important.
Let's finish our so-called Wicker County Roundup in the native county of Paul Galvin, Kerry. And we have
there wasn't much, like, you were sort of baiting us in there. It was like, for the big reveal, everyone knows where Paul Galvin is from, Galvin. But come on.
Let's finish with a birthday message to the Snapchatting Robin Hood of low-level hurling, Buff Egan.
Yes.
This was a birthday message sent to Buff Egan by Buff
Egan.
Is that
your description of him, by the way?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's very good.
Thank you very much. This is a picture with him and I think his mother. Quote, the hurling man, Buff Egan, was born on this day. I was born in a manger just outside Shannon Airport. And there lies the true tale of Buff Egan.
It's wonderful.
The mystique and the myth grows.
Oh, God, yeah.
Happy birthday to Buff. That is all from your
so-called
Happy
belated birthday to Buff. And while we're in Kerry, we should mention the incredible John McDonagh Cup. This seems to be my role at the end of around the weaker counties.
Yeah.
Because, as people will know, it was all set up after Laois beat Antrim for if Kerry could do the job against Westmeath, there was going to be four teams locked on 4 points going into the last two rounds, which was incredibly exciting. And while most of the country was probably watching Clare versus Cork, there was an incredible game going on in Kerry as they went, I think, something like 3 points up in injury time and lost, and had a man sent off, and Westmeath just hit point after point after point after point. I think they got 3 in 90 seconds at one stage and just turned it around. And it was that's an unbelievable performance by them as well. Fair play. They look like a really, really good team, but it looked for a while like Kerry were just going to make that competition even better. But there's still between Kerry, Carlo, Antrim and even Laois are back in it now, I suppose.
Definitely. So Westmeath are top on 6 points, 2 points clear of Antrim and Carlow, and then Kerry and Laois have 2 points each with me.
So
bottom
the battle
zero.
For that second final place is going to be pretty interesting. So that was around the weaker counties.
Yeah. How do you think I did? Rate my round about a 10 in the absence of Farrell. Like, I don't have his steady hand and experience of it.
Yeah, I would say that what it was lacking was your response to your own stories.
Okay.
To Mark's stories, you know, so I wasn't here to, I don't think I did a stellar job, which
brings that down
to like a kind of a decent and a respectable 6.5 out of 10.
Okay.
Whereas like, you know, your individual work was stellar.
That's the kindest criticism I've ever got. That was a bit crap, Gavin, because you weren't there to challenge
to it. React to your own stories. No criticism here. That was around the weaker counties.
It's high, it's dropping in. The goal! Yeah! And the sides are level. We're supposed to have impartial journalists here around us. That's the cheer you have from all of them. Colin Walsh steadies himself, takes the kick. And the ball goes over the bar. Four Monaghan takes the kick. Ball drops in high. Yeah! Walsh, and the ball is over the bar. And they're now leading by 3 points. 3 points separating the teams here.
Up the back door.
And the kick out will come.
He's going to go for a kick. That could be a tremendous goal if he lands it. Does he land it? He does. He sends it in.
The Leinster football quarterfinals are on this weekend, Gavin.
Yeah, big time. Been waiting a while.
Out of time for them. We've been talking about your Longford Meath game. We'll get to that in a few minutes. There's Wicklow versus Dublin and also Kildare versus Carlo. Pretty big game. You've already made a bold prediction on that game.
Carlo to win.
You think Carlo are going to win it?
I've never been more sure about anything in my life, ever.
I think it'll be very close. Really looking forward to it. The other game, Westmeath versus Laois.
Mm.
The battle of the mid-2000 Leinster champions.
Yeah.
Another one really looking forward to because Laois on a bit of a roll this year. Westmeath, pretty good season as well.
O'Byrne Cup finalists.
O'Byrne Cup finalists. At a very good campaign in Division 3. Look, we're promotion candidates all the same. Along with Longford. Let's just throw that in there as well. Longford. Not Cavan. Anyway, really look forward to this, right? Because PJ Brown earlier in the week spoke to Boydu Seya, who is a Westmead player who originally moved to Westmead from Liberia at the age of 8. So he caught up with him this week to get his story and a little bit on this season.
Yeah, I came here when I was 8 years old. What do you call it? I was brought here by my uncle, Ben. He brought me here, and his wife, Therese. They brought me here, kind of adopted me, kind of thing. And, they decided to adopt me and bring me to Ireland. So I arrived here on my birthday, actually, the day I turned 8. So been here since I was 8 years old.
Did you know much about Ireland before you moved here?
No, I hadn't a clue. I hadn't a notion. It was, when you're growing up in Africa, the only country you really hear of is America. Like, so it's the only place really, you know, everyone knows and everyone's mad about. So I thought I was going to, you know, the States. Like, I was delighted. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to America. It'd be great, you know, start playing soccer and all that crap. But then I was brought here. When I arrived, the only time I actually knew I was coming to Ireland, really, you know. I was pretty young anyway, so, you know, I had America in my mind.
Do you remember the first day when you arrived in Ireland?
Yeah, I kind of do. I remember, you know, hopping on the plane, big 12-hour flight, and arriving, and my mom now, Therese, she picked us up in one of her little cars, and was brought straight to one of my auntie's house, and she was having a little gathering there. So a few aunties and stuff were over there. It was my first time seeing like a whole group of white people together, you know. So kind of walked into a room and I was introduced to my auntie, and I was introduced to an uncle and another auntie, and I was just like, you know, it was a very kind of overwhelming kind of experience, you know. Kind of just brought into a room and then loads of people there, and had no clue what was going on. I could understand them, but I just didn't know what was going on. It was a bit very overwhelming kind of situation. Like,
had your uncle been long in Ireland at that stage?
My uncle came to Ireland, I think, in 97 or 96. His wife and his daughter, his wife Therese and his daughter Mairead, they left Liberia because of the whole civil war was going on over there. So they were living there and had left and came to Ireland when she was my sister now was very young. They came over here just to live. Like, my mom's from Ireland. Therese is from Ireland, so okay. she decided to move back home, kind of thing, to get away from the civil war that was going on.
You say you're the woman, you know, called your mother Therese.
Yeah, she's my, like, they adopted me, so like my mother now. Like,
okay. How did you end up playing GAA?
Well, I went to primary school in Rosemount National School, and you know, it's a little small little community. Everyone in the school plays Gaelic, like, you know. So I started off in Rosemount in first class, and you know, we had this thing going where if you reach second class, you get to, like, say about 1 o'clock, you get to go out, and a guy used to come in called Jim, and he used to do football training with you. So that's where I actually started. I started off, you know, in second class, getting to be let out to play Gaelic. So I never heard of Gaelic before. I didn't have a clue what it was. And I was brought in to this guy named Jim, and we decided to, and he started showing us how to play Gaelic. And all the kids knew how to play Gaelic already, and, you know, I had to start from scratch, literally. And ever since then, I suppose, I freaking fell in love with it, loved it, and it's been a big, big part of my life at the moment.
How did your kind of progression with Westmead happen? You played with the Westmead minors?
Yeah, I actually started playing with Westmead when I was under 14. And then, you know, you make your way up. And then we got to the minor Leinster final against Kildare that year. And then, yeah, after minor, then we all then moved on from the minor. We went on to 21s, and my first year on the 21s was when I was then called into the senior panel. So it was literally just playing with the seniors for, you know, training and getting experience and all that crack. And then my last year on the 21s was then I was nearly fully in with the seniors, you know. And I think it all kicked on from when I was minor, really. I started getting more noticed or whatever from the county setup.
Was it kind of strange being like a black player in Westmeath football?
Yeah, I suppose it is, considering there isn't really that many black footballers in Ireland in general, but like the Westmeath. I suppose it wasn't strange because it was I always played with, you know Israel Ilunga.
Mm-hmm.
I always played from under 16s all the way up with him, so it didn't feel like I was on my own kind of thing. And then there was another guy there as well, Sam O'McCurry. So there was always three of us kind of playing from under 16, minor, and then 21s. And then, like, them boys kind of stopped playing, and then now I'm the only one with seniors at the moment. Like, but, you know, all the way growing up, it didn't feel like I was the only black guy kind of thing playing on the team. But I suppose, considering in Ireland, the fact that there's not many black players playing inter-county level, it is a bit strange that way, you know. As in, like, I'd definitely rather if there was a lot more involved in the GAA, you know. Hopefully in the next couple of years now, there will be a good few black players playing the GAA. Hopefully it kicks on that way.
How have you found the step up to, like, senior inter-county from under 21?
Oh, yeah, it's huge. Yeah, it's a huge style. Even the whole setup is different. It's more professional, kind of, you know. It's a lot more professional with inter-county setup, like. And I suppose, you know, you get to play with top players, you know. Like John Heston and Kieran Martin and all them boys. Jimmy Dolan, like, you get to play with top players and, you know, that's how you get on. That's how you get better, I suppose, playing at top level. Mm. And I think it's improved my game a lot. Even going back with the club, you know, I'm training with some of the best players in county. And then, you know, going back to the club, then you're considered, you know, nearly considered as the top players for your club then when you go back. You know, so I suppose I love playing with Westmeath that way. So.
Yeah, what's the atmosphere like within the Westmeath panel? Is it even enjoyable?
At the moment, it's grand. Yeah, it's not too bad. It's a bit of crack, you know. I think we're all enjoying our football these days, so it's not too bad. It's a bit of crack. It was kind of sad seeing Jimmy Dolan going off to the States this year, but I think we all. You know, it opens up spaces for lads now to kind of try to get back into the team. Even for myself, it kind of opens up the spaces for me to go up into the team as well. So, be a bit of a competitive nature in the camp this year. So, with a new manager as well. So, it's great. Colin's down as well. So, I think we're all looking forward to the first round.
This is your second year involved with Africa Day, I think.
Yeah, this is my second year. I was there first year last year. I've actually always been... I went to Africa Day with my mom when I first came to Ireland, when I was like about 9 or 10. And ever since then, I went once and then I hadn't been back. And then I got in contact with the GAA and they wanted me to go up to Africa Day last year to just, you know, do some kind of kids games or, you know, kicking around with the ball or whatever. So I did that last year. And then this year, they wanted me to get involved being a champion this year, promoting Africa Day. So it was great, you know. It was pretty nice. And, it's cool the way Africa Day is pretty diverse as well. You know, getting a load of Irish kids and African kids are mixing together just to come down to one big event. It's pretty nice.
what you feel that you kind of get out is personally?
I have little African kids coming over to me and being like, no, I have the FAI right beside me as well. So the African kids would come in and see the Gaelic football and be like, oh, I've never played Gaelic before, whatever. How do you do this? Whatever. And I'm like, well, you never played Gaelic before. Kind of trying to introduce them to the sport and trying to introduce them to what Gaelic is. And maybe then they might decide to, you know, maybe join their local club or whatever. So I think it's great that GAA is involved with Africa Day just to kind of promote that, you know, promote GAA through African kids and Irish kids who have moved over from Africa or whatever, vice versa, mm-hmm. you know. So I know it's pretty, I like being involved with it now.
Do you see yourself as being kind of a role model for young African kids in Ireland?
I haven't really thought of that properly. I haven't really thought of that at all, actually.
But, I guess when they see you up there, you're promoting the skills of this game, they must think of you that way, though.
Yeah, the most, like, I remember last year, a little kid came up to me and he was like, oh my God, like, you have the cool gear and all that. It's like, do you play for Westmeath? Or like, do you play football? And I'm like, oh yeah, I play for Westmeath. Like, no way. Do you, like, play against, you know, Dublin or... Mayo or whoever, and I'm like, yeah, we get to play against, you know, the big teams and all that. And he's like, oh, that's so cool, or whatever. I've never played Gaelic before, and I'm like, oh my God, you should definitely join a club or, you know, get your mom and parents involved in the GAA. It's great. And I suppose I never really thought of being a role model, but if I look into it now, like, I guess I am, kind of thing, you know.
You kind of said, you said earlier there that you'd love to see more African players involved in Gaelic football. Is there something the GAA should be doing to promote that or encourage that?
I suppose the GAA are already kind of doing that kind of stuff. They do international games and all that. But I think, you know, through schools, that they should definitely try to get African kids more involved in the GAA. I don't think enough of them are involved in the GAA. A lot of kids, you know, have one thing in their mind, which is soccer. And, you know, schools would be like, oh yeah, you should play soccer because, you know, you're black and you might be good at soccer. So they literally shadow them towards soccer instead of maybe another option, which is hurling or Gaelic or, you know, the GAA side. But I think it should be more, I think there should be more African kids playing Gaelic.
Like when you started playing, do you think it kind of helped you integrate into Irish society, playing Gaelic football?
100%, yeah. I think I'm some of my best friends now, you know, I wouldn't be as good friends with them if I didn't play Gaelic, you know. Even with the Westmeath, like, I'm very good friends with Kieran Martin, and I wouldn't have been very good friends with him if I didn't play senior county. And you know, I've made so many new friends. Even in college, it's even easier to mix in because of the GAA.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose that whole word sport that kind of revolves around, you know, even the community, you know, what's it called, mixing in with the Rosemont community, everyone kind of have more respect for you in the fact that you play Gaelic and you're good at Gaelic and, you know, to go and see you play. And I think it's just tight. That's where I think Rosemont's such a tight-knit community that, you know, the GAA has made.
Sinead is our sound woman here on Terrastock, but she's gone to hear Beyoncé.
New girl.
Beyoncé.
Beyoncé's not his wife, is that what you're saying?
Beyoncé. So Sinead has gone to hear Beyoncé. Beyoncé. Beyoncé.
Well, there's obviously a new girl and that.
Beyoncé is playing.
Who's here?
Good night, Bianca. Send a message?
Yeah, we all said it.
Good night, Bianca. Hey, baby.
Emotional.
Very we'll
emotional.
Be back.
Very emotional.
And I hope it doesn't happen to Bianca.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I love listening to those stories about people that I kind of don't know too much about, because now I will be watching Westmeath specifically for Boydu to see, is he playing? And if he is playing, wanting them to win on behalf of just hearing a long interview with that. We're going to have the full interview with him up on site. That was just a brief kind of like 12 minutes of what was actually like a 40-minute interview. So much more from Boydou. Just really interesting character. And absolutely. Do you think they can beat Laois this weekend?
Bookies don't think so. Yeah. Interestingly enough, apparently Laois in... Where's this game played? Sorry, as I rustle for paper. Laois are the slight favourites, and word on the grapevine is that John Heston might be missing for Westmeath.
Oh, no.
Which would, you have to say, swing it to Laois. I actually do think Laois are going to win this. I know I'm not on Human Energy this week, but... I'm trying to get tips.
You see, I keep looking. I'm kind of looking for opinions because I have to do the accumulator.
It's on Tullamore, by the way.
It's on Tullamore.
Nobody has home advantage, and I think Laois, by the fact that they've already played a game, a really tough game against Wexford, have had a lovely little week off to prepare for this. Westmeath coming in, well, I say cold. They had the Auburn Cup final the week that Laois were coming back from. Laois coming back from the death against Wexford. So unfortunately, no, but I do think Laois.
Right.
But my opinion doesn't matter.
It doesn't. What matters is 15 men against 15 men on the day, Gavin, in a game of Gaelic football, as the gods intended. The other game, Longford versus Meath, as I said, we've been talking about it for a long time. This is the big one for Longford. They're targeting Meath. They've been doing spying trips to Navan and Kells and done Shockland for months just try and get that little bit of advantage. Is that what you talked to the Longford captain about?
No. We spent 15 minutes on a trip to Tato Park. No, that's a lie. Longford have had, and I'm sure loads of counties like this, but I have a particularly keen eye on Longford, and they have quite a cool number of initiatives at underage level. So we've previously covered the fact that they give grinds to their juniors and Leaving Cert students, and they've also linked up with Leitrim to run this under-12 competition. Now this is the fifth year of it, and there's now 35 teams taking part. So rather than rank the divisions 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and put a hierarchy on it, they're calling each of the divisions after inter-county players from Longford and from Leitrim, which I kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
Although it might make you feel old that you already have a cup called after you and you're actually, you know, playing this weekend. But nonetheless, so Donal McGilligan is the Longford captain.
So is he one of the cups?
I don't know. I haven't got the names of the cups yet, unfortunately. I will find that out.
Paul Barden surely is getting a cup.
Who?
Paul Barden.
Oh, no, he's retired. I think it's current players.
Oh, it's only current players?
Oh, yeah, as far as I know.
Oh,
it's current
apologies.
Players, yeah.
I must have...
Yeah, no, there's no problem. But anyway, Donal McGilligan is the Longford captain, and I started off by asking him to just give us a sample of the mood around Longford this week.
Yeah, it's the excitement is building nicely for the game, obviously, on Sunday. Longford people love their football, and especially big championship days, and luckily, you know, we have a big day out on Sunday at home, so definitely there's great buzz about the place among all the players and great well wishes from the supporters. So, yeah, everyone really looking forward to it.
How important, Donal, that the game's actually at home? Because Pierce Park has had its own structural issues, and while you've got to play the league games there, I think you haven't had a home championship game since the qualifier against Cork in 2016. So how important is it for Longford to actually play one of these big games and against these big teams in front of their own supporters?
Yeah, it's you know, it is a big factor for us, obviously. You know, there's a lot of work being done in the past couple of months in particular to get the place ready. And, you know, as I said, we're going to hopefully get a big crowd in on Sunday. It'll be obviously a big travelling support for me, but try and get everyone from within Longford behind us for Sunday and create a really good atmosphere. And as I said, we know what it means to the people of Longford, and it means a lot for us as well to be able to play a big game in the Leinster Championship at home. So definitely, you know, I suppose it'll be a factor, but we're well aware that once the ball is thrown in, there's a job for us to do, and obviously a big challenge against Meath.
Yeah, of course. Like, Pierce Park is one of those grounds which really does generate a very good atmosphere. I don't know, have you much experience of these big games in front of the Longford fans before?
Yeah, it's been unusual, I suppose, the last couple of years, because obviously the stand has been out of action. So, you know, the whole crowd has been on one side of the pitch, which has kind of been a little bit strange. But from what I can gather, there's going to be some of the stand open. So it'd be nice to get that that atmosphere back again. Yeah, I'd imagine the place will be rocking like come 3 o'clock on Sunday. And hopefully, as said, we get a big crowd in to really put it up to Meath on Sunday.
Yeah, Meath are probably going to be considered favourites outside of Longford. What about within the camp? Do you consider yourselves underdogs?
Well, look, I suppose look, we're well aware of the challenge that Meath will bring on Sunday. And, you know, they've got threats all over the field. And, you know, we have our homework to do to try and... To try and curtail their threats, but at the same time, you know, we have our own performance to look at as well, and try and get our own house in order. That's first and foremost. So, look, I think it's definitely a big challenge there. You know, we're playing at a level above us the past few years, no doubt about that. So, we definitely need to raise our game. But as I said, hopefully, we'll be able to do that. And you know, so it's all on the day then.
Yeah, Longford has a reputation of being somewhat qualifier specialists, I think it's fair to say. I think you've won your last 9 straight first round games, Donal, but the fact that you're in the first round of the qualifiers for 9 years in a row means that you've had a pretty poor record at Leinster level. Does that really grate with you? Is there an element of this weekend being we have to improve in the Leinster Championship?
Yeah, it's probably something that comes up every year, you know, and see, the stats don't lie. We have been quite poor in Leinster. You know, even since I've been involved, our wins in the Leinster Championship have been few and far between. And, you know, as you mentioned, we've been able to pull off a few big scalps in the qualifiers. It's hard to put your finger on it. I think this year, you know, we've been lucky that we've got a straight a draw straight into the quarterfinals. You know, and we realise that obviously it's a huge game on Sunday and a huge prize on offer to get into a Leinster semi-final for the first time in quite a number of years for a Longford team. So I think, you know, we really need to focus on the smaller parts of it and not get bogged down though on the occasion, and really focus on the performance and hopefully carry through our some of our league form into the game on Sunday, you know, and take it, you know, first half of the first half and kind of see where we are at half time and make sure then we come out in the second half with a big performance as well.
Yeah, let's briefly talk about that league form, Donal, because last year you just stayed up in Division 3, a last minute free against, I think it was a tip, I might be wrong about that, but it was definitely a last minute free in the last round. This year it was a last minute free that denied you promotion against Fermanagh. And so how do you recover from that? Because it was such a disappointment, in front of your own supporters, in that game against Fermanagh in the last round of Division 3.
Yeah, it was obviously a big blow for us to be so close, but yet so far in the end, because you know, it cost us obviously going up into Division 2 and a chance to play in Croke Park in a Division 3 final. But, you know, we went back to the clubs for a few weeks, played a few rounds of league games. I think the lads probably just took a step back from it, and then we kind of circled the wagons again the last few weeks and really put our heads down and worked hard and focused for me, because that's all you can do. I mean, football is all about setbacks and how you deal with them. And look at the results against Fermanagh is long behind us now. We've turned the corner, hopefully, and as I said, Sunday gives us a chance to fully move forward and to, as I said, hopefully show that we've recovered from that league.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember Dennis Connor, the Longford manager, saying, I think it might have been last year, maybe it's the year before, one of those two anyway, that he, of the players that he asked to come into the county panel, I think something like 44% of them said that they didn't want to come in. But those that have come in, you have a relatively young panel, and you've done a decent job in keeping the bulk of it together over the last 2 or 3 years, where we see so many counties, particularly those in Division 3 and 4, really struggling to hold on to players year on year. Longford have done that job pretty well, Donal. What would you put that down to?
Yeah, there's probably a number of different factors. As you mentioned there, there's a really good core group of young guys who have tasted success with Longford at underage level. You know, a few years ago they were winning the Leinster title. There's just 7 or 8 of them guys knocking around. You know, and they're hungry for success at senior level. And you know, we've mixed that well with lads with experience as well. So, as I said, this is just lads really looking at doing something with Longford at senior level. I think as well as that, the backroom team and the management team that we have in place at the moment is really good. It's really professional. I think lads can see that, and lads are bought into what they're trying to do with us. And I suppose I said like that everyone kind of puts their shoulder to the wheel and realises that, you know, your time at senior inter-county level is limited, so it's about trying to make the most of it when you are there.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I hope you make the most of it this weekend. Donal, thanks a million for chatting to us.
No problem at all. Thanks a million, Gav.
McGovern has it inside to the substitute. This can win it for Leitrim. It's kicked in. Leitrim leads. Leitrim have taken the lead in Gaelic Park in New York. Noah Duncan has kicked it over the bar. And Leitrim, who were dead and buried, every 8 seconds, Leitrim lead by a point. And Leitrim, it looks like they have survived by the skin of their teeth. It's all over. It's all over. Leitrim have survived by the skin of their teeth.
There you go. Longford versus Meath this weekend.
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
can you do it?
I mean, if you piece together a couple of minutes out of every podcast we've done so far, you've got a pretty bumper preview of this game.
Nothing from the Meath side. Although, no, we did. We talked to Mickey Burke.
And Killian O'Sullivan back in the day. So, do I think Longford can win? Yes, I do, Mick. Yes, I do. Now, they're kind of beset by injuries. There's a worry about Sean McCormick, the forward. There's a worry about Barry McKeown, who is kind of their sweeper. He's really important.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've had good preparations this game. They've had good challenge matches against Kildare and Cork to, you know, to just sample the Division 2 standard, which Meath kind of fails.
Is the influential Michael Quinn playing?
The influential Michael Quinn should be playing.
Yeah,
influencing all around him. Yeah. So also home advantage is going to be a big one. The stand, the subsistence ridden stand in Glennon Brothers Pierce Park is open for business as far as I'm aware.
Nice.
So hopefully we'll have, when you see it in the Sunday game, the cameras won't be pointed toward an empty stand kind of taking away what atmosphere will be at the game.
Great. I look
atmosphere
forward to that 2 minutes.
And Longford will win, hopefully.
Okay. On the initiative that Donald was talking about there, you were saying it also does include Leitrim. Now, we were hoping to speak to somebody from Leitrim in advance of their semi-final with Roscommon. And shock horror, no Leitrim player was available because Leitrim have a media ban in place.
Media ban set down this week. The word is that players are not to be distracted by Chantos media. Now, look, we have to declare our very obvious interest in this, in the sense that we're against media bans because it, you know, makes it more difficult to do our jobs. But like, it's horse shit. Like,
it is. I suppose, like, I'm just gonna.
I mean, we've made the point before that why would we vote? Why would turkeys vote for Christmas, and why would weaker counties vote for a second tier championship in which they'll disappear from media, the media glare and spotlight altogether? But Jesus, the counties have to have a responsibility here. Like,
playing devil's advocate, like, there is an element of, if you're not a very well-known person, you're not used to doing it, that going and doing a media call, if it's not your thing, could be a bit of a distraction. It might be something that worries you or whatever. But, like, I'm sorry, but playing a game on the Sunday doesn't need to take up every breath that you have over the course. You know, they have to go to work. They have other worries in their life. That's just part of being a sports person, an amateur sports person. I don't understand how you would deny somebody who plays with a county like Leitrim that struggles to get a media spotlight that opportunity to do that and speak to a national audience. And if it's something that they want to do, which, like, again, we don't know, and we don't want to, like, let's not make it too much about Leitrim, just media bans in general, this idea that, you know, talking about the game is somehow going to work against you or be a distraction or make you look like a big time Charlie is just such an antiquated idea that, like, I don't know, it just feels 10 years behind. It feels like something that somebody came up with in the mad rabble rousing days however long ago, and it's like some counties are just catching up now.
But it's, and you see it play out, it happens in all sports, but it seems to play out particularly in Gaelic football, where there's sometimes there's a real poverty of initiative and originality. So whereas someone will come up with something that seems to work for them, 10 years later there's other counties doing it, and they're just kind of doing it because, oh, it worked for someone else.
Yeah,
you'll see it with styles of play, and you'll see it with media bans.
Absolutely, you're dead right there actually. And if Leitrim beat Roscommon this week Fair play to them. We'll be championing the media ban. We won't talk to anyone for the rest of the year. No, well, look, if Leitrim, I would be interested to hear from a Leitrim player after what happened in New York and everything like that. So hopefully we will do it one way or another, either after their glorious victory next week or before the qualifiers.
I would love it if Cork beat them. Yeah. Also, can we talk about the fact that we're walking out of the stand, one of them turned to the other one. Ashford's great to be back in Division 1.
I've kept really quiet, but I'll tell you something. He went down in my estimation when he said that. We have not resorted to that.
Let Cork beat them and then Cameron Tipperary goal.
But I'll tell you, you can tell him now if you're watching it, we're still fighting for this title.
And I'll tell you now, they're still fighting for this title. And they've got to go Cork and get something.
And he's got to go to Middlesbrough and get something.
I think they're at home against Cork.
We just say things like that.
They're at home against Cork there.
And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
I would love it if Cork beat them.
Love it.
Love it.
Love it.
Love it.
Love it.
Yeah, so lots more to talk about because I have to go through an accumulator.
Now, can we talk for a minute about my near miss?
Yeah, we should.
So we've yet to actually land one of these accumulators. So I hope listeners haven't been...
So keep your wallets in your pockets, lads.
Haven't been loading in on them. But I was laughed at and derided here by our now departed colleague, Mark Farley, for my fourfold 20-to-1 accumulator. And it only... almost bloody came in, and the only team that let me down were the Antrim Hurlers, who lost by a single point to Laois at home at Farley. That was the banker that Farley told me that I had.
They only needed to win, though, didn't they?
Yeah, only needed to win by even by a single point would have done it. So I'd done it on I've done other spread betting and things like that. It was a really, really outstanding shape by myself.
Okay, Gavin. Yeah, we get it, right? Yeah. You did well. In fairness, I was right behind you on the Clare Footballers. Did you have Monaghan?
No.
What were the other two?
I had Offaly to beat the spread against Kilkenny.
Yeah. I was surprised that ended up happening, given how that game was going.
Did I have the Limerick Hurlers against Tip or something?
No.
I can't remember actually what I had.
Right, anyway.
Sorry, I have to say that I didn't pay any attention to this because, sadly, the very first result that came through was the accumulator busting Laois Antrim game.
Yeah, so it did. Yeah, that's unfortunate. So it was, even though we came close, we came within 2 points, we didn't really because it was the first game and it was gone. So nothing after that really mattered to anybody who took our advice, which was hopefully nobody. So I have to get this week's one, so let's give it a go.
Here we go.
I've thought about this long and hard.
I know.
Some of the ones I haven't gone for that I've been tempted by.
Here we go.
I'm going to not go for Wicklow plus 22 against Dublin.
Is that the spread? 22 points?
22 points. I'm afraid, though.
I think
it's a very tempting spread, which makes it the most dangerous.
Oh, I would be lumping on Wicklow plus 22.
If Dublin get 426, how much do Wicklow have to score to beat the spread?
Oh, jeez, 30. That's 38. That's
38.
They'd what need, did we say the spread
need to
was?
Be getting 12 points to even the spread.
They get
110 in an open game where Dublin have won.
Oh, well, I'm entirely influenced here by the Dublin Carlow game last year.
Different game, different team, different levels of teams.
Hey, but you know Kieran Brannigan, the dude who was pushed by Jim McConnelly in that game.
Yeah.
He's the referee in this game.
Right, okay. Well, Dermot McConnelly's not playing.
There's a bit of Wicklow. I know. So there's a bit of Wicklow Dublin facts for you kids.
Yeah. Dermot McConnelly's not playing. And neither is a few Dublin players, if you think about it. No, I'm not. It'd be mad to go with Wicklow against Dublin, no matter what the spread is.
Sorry, in any normal competition, in any normal sport, you'd be thinking, oh, maybe they can beat them. Whereas oh, maybe they won't lose by more than 22 points.
I'm not putting that in the accumulator, but I'm putting it out there for other people because it's an interesting
one. I'm taking that.
Roscommon, minus 11.
You're not taking that either.
I'm not taking it. I do feel they'd beat it. My worry about taking the teams beating big spreads is they have no motivation to do it. And if a game is close and if Leitrim get two late goals, it doesn't matter a damn to the Roscommon players. So what I am going for is a fourfold. Mm-hmm. Three of them with the handicap. I'll take the... I felt I need to get off the mark. That's a problem sometimes with my one. So I'm taking Down to beat Antrim. The Ulster football quarter final. That's 1-6. I'm not going with the spread on that one.
1-6.
Yeah, just to start me off, okay?
Okay.
It gets good after this, don't worry. I'm taking Derry +6 against Donegal. I feel that in an Ulster Championship game like that, and with a team like Derry, who've had a rotten season, let's face it, but are definitely more talented than they've shown, I think 6 points is a lot.
Yeah.
And I can see them losing it by a goal, losing it by 4 points. I feel like I've got a few chances to win this one. So I'm taking Derry +6.
They're not the most cavalier of teams, Derry, either.
No.
Donegal defender Paul Brennan reckons that Derry are the favourites for this. In ultimate GAA, we're the underdogs, Egitree.
Yeah, that might be the most insane comment.
It's a Division 1 team.
That's like Dean Rock coming out and saying that they have the height of respect for Wicklow and that if they don't show up in the day, there could be an upset.
Oh, this is worse.
And by the way, I'm putting words in Dean Rock's mouth there. I'm sure he hasn't said that, but it could be any one of the Dublin players.
Genuinely, I mean, whatever Dublin player speaks for that game will say exactly what you
just
said.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not only am I saying that Dean Rock specifically didn't say that, I'm saying every last one of them would have or will.
Anyway, sorry, we're going right,
sorry, so down to beat Antrim.
Okay.
Derry +6 versus
Donegal.
You're going to like the next two.
Okay.
Carlow +7 versus Kildare. They're 7-1 to win that game.
You coward. Why are you going bothering with the spread at all?
Why am
Carlow
I bothering?
Are going to win the game.
7-1 for a reason, and it's going to be very tough, and I hope they do, to be honest, because we've been with Carlow from the start, and I won't be massively shocked if they do. I think it's too far a reach to say they're definitely going to beat Kildare. I think this would be a massive, massive next step for them. But I do fancy them to run it close, and I think 7 points is a huge bet given Carlow.
Yeah, that's very tempting.
Carlow aren't losing many games by 7 points anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm going for that. And then you're going to be happy with the next one, but also probably a little bit scared given my recent record.
Here we go.
Longford +3 at Glenn Brothers Pierce Park against Meath.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I'm taking either a close game or with a nod to, I quite fancy a Longford win.
Come on.
I have to say.
Come on.
And I think if you don't lose, it'll be a heartbreaker, and then I'll be grand with the +3.
Yeah, I know, absolutely. Yeah.
So
I mean, in fairness, I know I derided your cowardice in not picking Carlow outright, but I like that.
It's 7.5-1 overall, so it's a little bit less than we had last week, but we need a bloody winner.
Yeah.
We need a winner, lads.
So I'm sitting here bragging, was considering bragging about the fact that I went for 21 accumulator, but didn't win. So
no, you've come the closest of anyone so far, and that's kind of sad because this is the 16th week of the show. Now take away the so-called club month, and we're talking about our 12th accumulator.
Oh my God.
So if we don't win soon, I'd stop listening to us. Give us another couple of weeks.
What an evening. What a performance. One of the greatest wins ever by the Rossies. Up to Pier Stadium. Goal with 6-1 on to beat us by 12 points. What happened? The Rossies arrived into town. What did we do? We blew them into Galway Bay.
Right, so that's all the time we have today. It's been a good show. Thanks a million, Gavin. We did
show,
it.
Hold on.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, where'd you come from?
You're after doing the podcast without me.
Do I lock the doors anymore?
Sorry, we thought you had a day out with the lads.
Hold on now.
That you weren't available.
No, I'm back now.
But
Jesus
we're out
Christ.
Of time.
But I've got like 10 things I need to say about
we're
Cavan.
We're like an hour in.
Right, first of all, I think it's very unfair that Cavan haven't got a game this weekend. Yeah. Secondly, we drew with Fermanagh in the Larry Maher Cup with a last minute score. And I bet you haven't even talked about that on the show.
Turn off the mics.
Lads, it's do or die this week in the Larry Maher. Lads, come back. Lads, for Christ's sake. Lads, we need to talk about whether Jared McVitie's going to be fit for the qualifiers.
Lads!
Ah, don't go.
That is what this is about. Every day. And I'm very sad about it. These are needles. No. These are angels dancing on the head of a pen.
It's very unfortunate.
That is what this is about.
I know.
Pick up a pencil.
I know.
This is not about abortion.
No, I know. You're trying to bully me now.
Well, we have 40 minutes to do an interview about this. So can we talk about the issue or else I'm going home?
No!
I'm fed up with this. Listen.
Don't go.
You told me this would be a fair
interview. It will be,
it's not a fair interview.
Don't go. I'm
You're
on the same...
Bollocks. You're a fucking bollocks.
No! I am again. I'm a no-voter. You're trying to bully me now.
Get the fuck off here. No, you're
a, don't go.
No, you told me this would be a fair
interview. It will be,
it's not a fair interview.
Don't go.
No, talk to him, my lad. Fuck off.
It's very unfortunate and I'm very sad about it. The no side have disappeared.
I'm on the same.
You're a fucking bollocks.
You're trying to bully me now.
Talk to him, my lad.
I don't go.
Fuck off.
The no side have disappeared.